ప్రేక్షక భో జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృందకి జయ జయ శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధా కుండ గిరి గోవర్ధన్ కి గ్రంథరాజ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కి నితాయ గౌర ప్రేమానదే ఓల్డ్ గ్లోరీస్ అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఓల్డ్ గ్లోరీస్ అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఓల్డ్ గ్లోరీస్ అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఓల్డ్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ గౌరంగా ఓల్డ్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ కి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ టుడే వి ఆర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 1 చాప్టర్ 4 టైటిల్ ద అపియరెన్స్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీ నారద టెక్స్ట్ నెంబర్ 33 దిస్ ఇస్ ద లాస్ట్ వర్స్ of this chapter. Tam abhigyaya sahasa pratyutthaya gatam munihi pujayamasa vidhivan naradam surapujitam tam abhigyaya sahasa ప్రత్యుత్య గతం ముని పూజయామాస విధివన్ నారదం సురపూజితం తమ్ అభిజ్ఞాయ సహసా ప్రత్యుత్య గతం ముని పూజయామాస విధివన్ నారదం సురపూజితం Tam abhigyaya, seeing the good fortune of his arrival, sahasa, all of a sudden, pratyuddhaya, getting up, agatam, arrived at, munihi, vyasadev, pujayamasa, worship, vithivat, with the same respect as offered to Vidhi, Brahma, Naradam, to Narada, Surabhujitam, worship by the demigods. So translation, at the auspicious arrival of Sri Narada, Sri Vyasadeva got up respectfully and worshipped him, giving him veneration equal to that given to Brahmaji, the creator. So here is the purport by Srila Prabhupada. Vidhi means Brahma, the first created living being. He is the original student as well as professor of the Vedas. He learned it from Sri Krishna and taught Narada first. So Narada is the second acharya in the line of spiritual disciplic succession. He is the representative of Brahma and therefore he is respected exactly like Brahma, the father of all vidhis or regulations. Similarly, all other successive disciples in the chain are also equally respected as representatives of the original spiritual master. ఓం అజ్ఞాన తిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజన శలాఖయ చక్షు ఉన్మిలితం ఏన తస్మై శ్రీ గురుమే నమః. హరే కృష్ణ. సో వి ఆర్ అట్ ద ఎండ్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ చాప్టర్ 4, ద అపియరెన్స్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీ నారద, అండ్ ద లాస్ట్ వర్స్ యాక్చువల్లీ షోస్ ద అపియరెన్స్ ఆఫ్ నారదముని. సో హియర్ నారదముని ఈస్ యాక్టింగ్ యాజ్ ద గురు of Vyasadeva. Now if you try to understand the principle behind Guru, we have to go a little bit further, because there is quite a few more principles that we have to cover when we take the topic of Guru. So in our day-to-day experience, say when we are preaching first, we are giving the knowledge that we are not the body. We are the spirit soul. So if we are presenting a Bhagavad Gita, one of the picture straight away we show is, okay, we are just growing up, we show the whole picture, you know, the cycle, life cycle, and show, okay, the body changes, but the soul doesn't change. So this is the first preaching principle. And this principle is based on understanding that the body is temporary, whereas spirit soul is eternal, meaning there is no beginning and there is no end. So it is there all the time. And another point to look at in this context is that there is something which is experienced and something which is the experiencer. So the experiencer is us, that is the spirit soul. And the experienced is the body as well as the mind. So our presentation of Krishna consciousness from the very beginning is differentiating between the experienced and the experiencer, because there has to be a difference. Because if there has to be an experience, there has to be experiencer and the experienced. So there is a classification. There has to be two distinct entities to have the experience. So this is the beginning of our philosophy. That is, we are not the body or mind, but we are the spirit soul. Now, if you understand that there is something which is experiencer and that is spiritual by nature, whereas whatever is experienced in one's material existence is material, matter by nature. There is beginning and an end. It is always transforming. Now, from this point, if we go further, we can see that, okay, there is this experiencer, that is a spirit soul, and this experiencer is being entrapped in a body which is both subtle as well as gross. So two kinds of covering, one is the gross and the subtle. Subtle is mind, intelligence, false ego, and the gross is, as we can see, bhumirapa, anala, vayu, the fire, either extra. So these kind of covering are there for this experiencer. Now, how this experiencer is functioning in this body, then we can see, okay, there has to be the function of intelligence. So even the most dull man should have some intelligence to function in this world. So we cannot deny the fact of intelligence. So without intelligence, one cannot survive. So the next stage is, okay, how this the conscious entity is surviving in this world because of the intelligence. Now, if you see, intelligence as well as the gross and subtle body, that is made of inferior energy because that is unconscious. And the experiencer is conscious because it has life. Now, how this conscious living entity is being entrapped by the unconscious matter, then we can understand there has to be something superior which has to place the conscious entity into an inferior energy. Because without this third entity, it is not possible to have the superior energy to be under the control of inferior energy. Second point, since there has to be the intelligence for functioning in this world, something has to be the source of that intelligence. So that source of that intelligence is something which is beyond, because it is governing all the living entities, starting from microbes to aquatics to the land animals to human beings. Everyone is provided with some intelligence. Third, if you try to see in the same point, even though we are the conscious entity, we are suffering in this world. So by the interaction with the inferior energy, we are implicated for suffering. So if we were superior, if we are actually superior, and if we were the controller of everything, then there cannot be any question of suffering. Because we can adjust in such a way that we can avoid suffering. So that is also not the case. We are suffering. So it shows that there has to be someone who is giving the intelligence, who is placing us ultimately as a sanctioner within this inferior energy, And that is Paramatma or the Super Soul. So, why I bring in the point of Super Soul is that because Super Soul is the one who is guiding us all, throughout, all the time. Even it is said, if we are sleeping, we are actually woken up from the sleep by Super Soul. This is the situation. For everything, we need the help of Super Soul. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Matta Smriti Jnanam Apohanam Cha. From me, remembrance, forgetfulness and knowledge comes. So, that presence of the Lord in the form of Super Soul is known as Chaitya Guru. So, here we are trying to understand the concept of Guru. So, that is Chaitya Guru or the Guru within. So, Krishna is known as Akhila Jagata Guru. He is the Super Soul of all the entire universe. He is present in all the living entities. As his expansion, as his plenary portion, as Paramatma, as the Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. So, when this Chaitya Guru is present, and this Chaitya Guru is looking forward, when the living entity who is conditioned is going to look towards him. Because he is trying to enjoy the material world, he is trying to exploit the inferior energy. Abhareyam idastanyam prakritim vithimavara jivabhuta mahabaho edam dharyate jagat. Dharyate jagat. He is trying to exploit the inferior energy. And the Lord within the heart is looking, when is he going to stop exploiting the inferior energy and when is he going to look at me? So as the Upanishad says, the analogy of two birds. So the Chaitya Guru is one bird, that is Super Soul, and the living entity is the other bird. Now, when this living entity turns towards Paramatma, the Super Soul, the Supreme Lord, then he becomes very happy. Because he is waiting for millions of lifetimes. For this moment, when a living entity is interested in him, there is nobody has so much patience as the Supreme Lord. So he is waiting eternally, practically speaking. And we can see, as yesterday Prabhu was pointing out in this class, whenever somebody is ready, the Super Soul reciprocates and he sends some spiritual knowledge. That is very interesting. Many times it happens when we give out a book, for instance, suddenly they say, yeah, I was looking for that. One day I had this experience a few years back. I was just starting this book distribution on the street. I stopped one person, yoga, his English was not so good. I just said, it's about yoga. He heard only the word yoga. He said, I was just thinking about yoga. Have you got any mystic ability? Can you read my mind? I said, no, I can't really read your mind. But this is a book on yoga and meditation. Then he said, I don't have any money. So we went to, he said, I'm working somewhere. I went with him with my book box. And got on a lift. Got on the third floor or something. Then he again came back and took me to an ATM. And he gave me $50. So this is, when somebody is ready, Krishna actually reciprocates and gives some spiritual knowledge. Another experience, yesterday I couldn't actually talk to one person, but it was very interesting because this person I met a few years back, at least 3 years back, and he passed on me, he asked me, he was a big fellow and his accent was from the Middle East, he was from Saudi Arabia, Muslim, a full Muslim, and he came to me and asked me, do you remember me? And I couldn't remember him, actually. I didn't remember him. I said, I just tried to recollect. And he said, I'm going. Assalamu alaikum. And he went away. Then it clicked me. I gave him a Bhagavatam 1.1 a few years back. And he couldn't actually speak. He said, you are the people who are chanting? I said, yeah, we are the one chanting and dancing. I showed him, yeah, we are chanting and dancing. Then he was just appreciative and he just took the Bhagavatam and gave a nice donation. And he just left. He was a Muslim. Yesterday, it's about God is Muslim. He was a full Muslim. And he took Bhagavatam and he went. I was thinking, oh, then yesterday I saw him, but I couldn't actually recognize. And he just walked on. And I couldn't go behind. Anyway, he went away. So this is the experience, when the Lord actually sanctions somebody to take a book. Because there is, the devotee is offering the mercy. And the living entity has the free will. He can accept or reject. And the third person is the Super Soul, the Chaitya Guru, then he has to sanction. So this is a three-way game. That is the mercy offered by the devotee and the free will of the living entity and sanction of the Super Soul. So in each and every encounter in our book distribution, we can directly see, or in even in any preaching endeavor, we can see the mercy, the free will, and the sanction by the Chaitya Guru. Now, ultimately, the significance of the Chaitya Guru is such that the Chaitya Guru, when one is ready, manifests himself as Shiksha Guru. It comes in the form of initiating spiritual master. So this is the next aspect of Guru Tattva. That is, he comes as the initiating spiritual master or Diksha Guru. But that's not the end of it. There are many other gurus as well. So here in Chaitanya Charitamrita, even the first verse, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he pays obeisances to all gurus. He says, Vande Gurun Isha Bhaktan Isham Isha Avatarakan. So the first word is Vande Gurun. So Gurun is plural. Gurun means it's plural. Means all the gurus. So that indicates it's not just one guru, but there are many gurus. So first we saw one guru, that is the Chaitya Guru. He is Supreme Lord Himself. Next guru is one who actually shows the path to Krishna consciousness. He is known as Vatma Pradarshaka Guru. One who actually, Vatma means the path. Pradarshaka, one who shows. Guru, so one who actually shows the path. Not necessarily that he has to be an elevated person. Not necessarily that he is an Uttamadhikari. He can be anyone. One person, you know, he can take you to Crossways, take us to the temple. He's actually showing the path to some degree or other to the Krishna consciousness. Or somebody shows the book of Srila Prabhupada. That is Vatma Pradarshaka Guru. He's actually showing, okay, this is the process of Krishna consciousness. When he actually takes up that process, then he can understand, okay, this is the one who actually showed me the path to Krishna consciousness. Now, there's a very interesting story regarding this. This is the story of Villamangal Thakur. Because Villamangal Thakur, he was a Brahmin by birth. He was born in a very high family, but he was addicted to illicit relationships. He used to go with a prostitute all the time, and her name was Chintamani. So he used to go, he used to do all these abominable activities all the time. And he went on in his life, and one day it was heavy rain. And he had to cross Ganges to go to her house. So that day it was heavy rain, there was a thunderstorm, and it was so difficult. It was late in night. He was so determined, he wanted to visit this prostitute, and he walked towards Ganges. So he was wet, obviously. He didn't care. He was so determined. And he went and he reached Ganges, and he was looking for a boatman and a boat. But he couldn't find any, because it was such a... the rain was pouring so profusely, so he couldn't find anyone, and he was thinking how to go. He straight away jumped into the water. When he jumped into the water, he thought there was a log, a big wooden piece, a log, and he actually held on to that. And he started crossing. And he started crossing, and almost he crossed the river, and he realized that it was not a dead log, but it was a dead body. But he didn't care. He still crossed the Ganges, and he reached the next shore, and he walked towards Chintamani's house. So he reached there and he started knocking the door, but no one was listening, no one was answering. But she was thinking, today no customers would come, you know, there's nothing to do. She was there, and he was knocking, nothing happened, and he wanted to climb to the next floor and actually knock on her bedroom. So he actually climbed with a rope, and when he was climbing, then he realized it was not a rope, it was a snake. Still, he was so determined, he went up and he actually pushed the window. Then she came and, you know, she was bewildered. He went inside and she was completely bewildered. And she told him that if he had so much of determination, and if he had actually approached Krishna with so much of determination, then you could have seen Krishna in the same lifetime. So actually, this Guru Tattva, Guru spoke from the mouth of Chintamani. And when Villamangal Thakur, when he heard this, he had a complete transformation. And he actually went to Vrindavan. So the story continues. But the point is that Chintamani acted as the spiritual master, the Vatma Pradarshaka Guru, who shows the path for the first time. And interesting enough, in his work on Krishna, that is Krishna Karnamrita, it's considered one of the most elevated work on Krishna consciousness. It is describing the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he used to recite the verses from this book. Krishna Karnamrita. So that is the position of this book. So Vila Mangal Thakur could write such an elevated literature glorifying Krishna. And in that book, even in the first verse, he glorifies Chintamani. The first verse, the beginning is Chintamani Jayati Somagirir Gurume. That is Chintamani Jayati. All glories to Chintamani. And next he glorifies Somagirir Gurume. And next is all glories to Somagiri, who is my initiating spiritual master. So, yes, we pay respect to the one who shows the path of Krishna consciousness, and obviously that should lead to the spiritual master who actually initiates us. That is Diksha Guru. Then apart from that, there is one more spiritual master, and that spiritual master is known as Shiksha Guru. And Shiksha Guru is considered also very important. Shiksha Guru is the one from whom we take guidance on a regular account. Generally, Srila Prabhupada mentions that from whom we actually take Shiksha for a long time, we actually make them Diksha Guru. That is a general practice. But it's not the rule like that, but generally it happens like that. However, even if we have a Diksha Guru, still Diksha Guru may not be available in the context of ISKCON. Diksha Guru may not be available in front of us all the time to take guidance. Then for day-to-day affair, we do take guidance from Shiksha Guru. So the role of Shiksha Guru is very important. In here, we have to understand where we take Shiksha from. We have to take even Shiksha from somebody who is qualified, one who knows the stuff. Otherwise, we can be misled. And not only that, we don't try to take Shiksha outside ISKCON. So even when Srila Prabhupada was present in this planet, he emphasized that taking Shiksha, taking guidance within ISKCON. It's not because others are not Vaishnavas or others are not elevated devotees, but since we are neophytes, we can get confused if we try to take instructions from other spiritual masters who are outside of ISKCON. So Srila Prabhupada said, if you take guidance from other people, you will get confused. If somebody gives the same instruction in a different way, you will be confused. So Prabhupada emphasized, okay, take Shiksha within the ISKCON community. So even now, our practice is, we actually take Shiksha from within ISKCON to avoid confusion. Because Srila Prabhupada has provided everything, so it's a matter of understanding and practicing. So for that sake, we always stick to the gurus as well as the senior devotees and other instructing people within our movement. Now, in terms of respect, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, everyone has to be respected. It's not that the Shiksha Guru can be neglected, cannot be respected, and only Diksha Guru will be respected. No, that's not the correct attitude. It's the neophyte mentality. It's only I am and my Guru. And rest of the Gurus, rest senior Vaishnavas, I don't care. So, moving back to the same verse by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami as quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, is a verse by Billa Mangal Thakur. He says, Chintamanir Jayati Somagirir Gurume Shiksha Gurushcha Bhagavan Shikhipincha Mauli. So he addresses, he says, who is my Shiksha Guru? It's a very interesting point. He says, Shiksha Gurushcha Bhagavan. Who is Bhagavan? He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And to classify or to identify which Bhagavan, because everyone is Bhagavan, you know, Narasimhadev is Bhagavan, Vishnu is Bhagavan, he says, there is a speciality for this Bhagavan. He is Shikhipincha Mauli, means the one who wears or he puts a peacock feather on his helmet. So he is specifically saying, okay, that is my Shiksha Guru. So Billa Mangal Thakur was so elevated that he was taking Shiksha from Krishna himself. Usually we can say, you know, for Arjun, who was the Diksha Guru, Diksha as well as Shiksha from Krishna himself. And for Lord Brahmaji, who is the Diksha Guru, Krishna himself. But here, for Billa Mangal Thakur, his Diksha is from Somagiri. And however, he is getting Shiksha from Krishna himself. So Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport that Krishna, as a cowherd boy, he used to visit Billa Mangal Thakur and he used to offer different things. And he used to have exchanges with Billa Mangal Thakur. So that was the elevated position of Billa Mangal Thakur. Also, it is very instructive that even the Shiksha Guru, the term Shiksha Guru itself is a very elevated term. So that term has to be respected and that person has to be respected. So the Lord is addressed as Shiksha Guru. Can you see the important point? And on a practical basis, we do take Shiksha from different people. Even within ISKCON, we ask different questions, different people. It is fine, but if we end up in some contradiction in the same thing, many people can give many instructions. And many times the problem is, we ask for instructions for 10 different devotees, and finally we do whatever we want to do. You see? So that is our nature. That is, another tendency is, we ask questions to devotees till someone gives an answer that we want to do. So these are different approaches in taking guidance, which are not appropriate. That is, we are looking for somebody to justify our approach. So we can ask different people, okay, if it is required, or we can ask one person. And ultimately, if we have any confusion what to do in Krishna consciousness, then ultimate authority is our own spiritual master. Because we can ask the Diksha Guru, whom we have taken initiation from, to clarify which service, for instance, which service most pleases you. We can have many services, so we may do many services, but we can ask our initiating spiritual master ultimately which service actually pleases you the most. So we may endeavor to do that service to the capacity we can. It's not that we neglect all the other services, but we may endeavor to do that service which pleases spiritual master while balancing other services. That is a practical thing to do. But when we have this multiple instructions, ultimate authority is Diksha Guru. And as it is mentioned here, Narada Muni is appearing in front of Srila Vyasadeva. So Vyasadeva is a disciple and Narada Muni is the spiritual master whom he got initiated from. And when Narada Muni appeared, Vyasadeva paid all obeisances, he paid all respects which has to be given to Vidhi, that is to Brahma himself. So that is our philosophy. We worship the spiritual master as good as God himself, because he is acting as the via medium to the Supreme Lord through the disciplic succession. So whatever Krishna has to say to us, that is given through the spiritual master. So Chaitanya Charitamrita says, that spiritual master who initiates is considered an expansion of Madan Mohan. He is considered an expansion of Madan Mohan deity, who is the attractive principle of Krishna. He is Madan Mohan, who can even capture the heart of Madan, the Cupid. Similarly, one who instructs, that is the Shiksha Guru, is considered an expansion of Radha Govind, Govindji, because he is the instructing deity, because he is the Abhidaya Tattva. He is the instructing, the process of devotional service. So this is the position of instructing and the initiating spiritual masters. Now, once Narada was approached and Vyasadeva properly received, he actually instructs Vyasadeva. Narada Muni instructs Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva is ready to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. So here we have the worship of the spiritual master every day, starting from Mangalarati, then there is Guru Puja. There is always worship of the spiritual master. And this spiritual worship of the spiritual master is there, and we can hear from Guru Ashtaka, that is Samsarada Vanali, the prayer, that Dhyayam Stuvam Sasya Yashastri Santhyam Vande Guru Shri Charanaravindam. That is, we worship the lotus feet of the spiritual master Trisandhyam. There are three Santhyas, three junctions. One is the morning, one is the 12 o'clock, and one in the evening. All three times we worship the spiritual master, especially if you are Brahman, when we do Gayatri, we can see the Guru Gayatri all three times. That apart from that, the real worship of the spiritual master begins when we try to follow his instructions and when we try to please the spiritual master. When we dedicate our life with the intention to fulfill the desire of the spiritual master, that is the real worship of the spiritual master. So that is the real Guru Puja. Of course, we have the Guru Puja as singing and glorifying, but that has to lead to pleasing the spiritual master. That has to lead to act in such a way that actually pleases the spiritual master. That is the real Guru Puja. So we can see in case of Srila Vyasadeva, he pleased Narada Muni because he heard the instruction from Narada Muni to write a scripture which is completely dedicated for the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Vyasadeva did that job in a very beautiful manner, and it had benefited so many people, and now also it is benefiting so many people. So now at this point of time, all the spiritual masters and Srila Prabhupada wants books to be distributed. So the best way we can please our spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada is very straightforward at this point of time. That is distributing the literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, other books to the people, as many as possible, with the right attitude. With the right attitude. Because attitude is very important. Because initially our tendency is to either to force and get attached to the result. It's a very strong tendency for us because we don't want to do anything without result. So if we are attached to the result, okay, we can be attached to one result, that is pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. If we can be attached to that result, then there is no harm. How much ever we want to be attached to that result, it is better for us. In that way, mood we can do. That is fine. Then it actually helps the living entities, and ultimately it helps us. Because the service is very humbling. If you go on street and distribute books, it is very humbling. Because many people react in so many different ways. And as you know, Krishna can tolerate anything but one thing, and that is pride. Krishna never tolerates pride. So if you are proud, be on the street, and Krishna is very expert in smashing our pride. So we can experience ourselves on a day-to-day basis, on hourly basis, how our pride is getting smashed, and in that way we are getting purified. So yeah, we can take this opportunity to fulfill the mission of Srila Prabhupada. With this, I stop here and see if there are any comments or questions or corrections. Point number one. All the time when, as we mentioned, the Guru's instruction is the prime thing, the Vani is very important, and we try to understand the mood and teachings of our own Guru very well. Even when Guru is present, and otherwise also, we have to understand the mood and the instructions of the Guru very well. That is the duty of the disciple. Second, there is one more pride that is allowed in spiritual life. That is instructions imparted by the spiritual master to a disciple. That is considered the wealth. That is considered the pride of a disciple. So, when the spiritual master is alive, one can get the good fortune to get the instructions from the spiritual master to do what one should do with one's life. What are the particular services actually we are meant to do to please him. Then, If spiritual master is not present, alive, then one can take instruction. There can be multiple Shiksha Gurus, as he pointed out, but one can have a prime Shiksha Guru who can actually understand the mood of one's own spiritual master, or one can actually reveal the mood and instructions imparted by one's own Diksha Guru, and who can actually guide to fulfill that mission. So, even when the spiritual master is alive, and if we are taking shiksha from different people, the instructions of the shiksha gurus has to be such that will fulfill the instruction of diksha guru. Can you see? Even when the spiritual master is alive, the instructions of the shiksha guru should be such that it will lead us to fulfill the mission of diksha guru. Then, if diksha guru is not present, then we have to take guidance in such a way that, and such a person such that, it will inspire us to fulfill the mission of our spiritual master. So that has to be the mode. From that we can understand who is actually inspiring us to follow that mission. Yes, bro.
First of all, thank you very much for the wonderful class.
Thanks.
And the second thing is, the book you gave, I will come to the gentleman. I hope you become the devotee of Iskon.
Hare Krishna. Yes, bro.
To what extent do you divide this life instruction from text?
How?
To what extent
to what extent. One has to be very careful, because if you are actually depending on instructions from Chaitanya Guru, we can be misplaced many times. The reason is, as Bhagavad Gita says, if one's mind is fully controlled, we have already reached platform of super soul realization. We can already talk. If mind, the senses are completely controlled, then we can get access to the super soul. With some devotion, of course. But one can get access to the super soul. As we know, our mind and senses are not controlled, which is not very difficult to understand for us. So we shouldn't depend our Chaitanya Guru for our day-to-day instructions, generally. Rather, if we feel, okay, there is such an instruction given by the Chaitanya Guru, or something is revealed to us, some instruction, then one has to clarify with Guru, Diksha Guru, and other devotees. At least if it is very important, then one has to approach Diksha Guru and ask, or at least from senior devotees, one has to clarify whether it is appropriate or not. To that extent, we can actually take instructions. Otherwise, disregard. No further questions. Thank you very much. Granthasya Madhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitya Gaura Premanande.